In our gospel today, we hear a common theme in the preaching of our Lord throughout the gospels as he teaches us about the kingdom of God. The catechism says that the kingdom of God is present in the church. The church, the catechism says, is the seed and the beginning of the kingdom of God. In other words, this theme of the kingdom of God that maybe oftentimes seems somewhat vague and theoretical to us, according to the church's understanding of herself, is very concrete and real. It is present among us in that one holy Catholic apostolic church that we profess our faith in every Sunday, that church into which we are each incorporated by our baptism and confirmation, that church which is very concrete, the institution that our Lord gave us, even with all the flaws and shortcomings of its human members and ministers, the church is the very kingdom of God in our midst. And the kingdom began as a seed in Jerusalem. And little by little, that seed grew and spread until now the church, the kingdom of God, is present on every continent across the globe. And what is it that has fueled that growth and spread of the kingdom of God on earth? There are any number of answers to that question. But one key source of that growth has been the blood of martyrs. Tertullian was a father of the church in the second century who said the blood of martyrs is the seed of Christians. It's a paradox. When a martyr dies, the persecutor thinks that he has snuffed out that particular influence in the world. But in fact, just the opposite often happens. From the martyr's blood comes a springtime of faith. We've seen it even in our own country. In the 1600s, Jesuit missionaries from Europe came to America to bring the gospel, to bring the faith to the native people of our land. One of them, St. Isaac Jogues, literally had his fingers severed from his hands by the natives because they saw that it was by his fingers that he did whatever he was doing in the Mass. They didn't really understand. St. Isaac eventually was kind of rescued and made his way back to Europe. And who would have blamed him if he simply said, look, I've spent myself trying to bring the gospel to these people. I'm going to enjoy my retirement now. But no, he begged permission to come back. His heart longed to continue his mission in this part of the world. And he returned to America. And in October of 1646, he shed his blood as a martyr in what is now upstate New York. And here is the beauty, the mystery of God's providence. In that very place, 10 years later, 1656, a baby girl was born in a Mohawk village there who would become Saint Kateri Tekakwitha, the first Native American to be canonized. The blood of martyrs is the seed of Christians. You know, in our day, we hear this parable also of the church compared to the great plant, the bush that grows out of that mustard seed. We are the birds who are invited to take refuge in the shade of those branches. We heard that also in the first reading today, the image of the great cedar within which the birds take their place, their dwelling place. In our day and age, that bush, that great plant, that tree that is the church, the kingdom of God, finds that many of these birds have scattered. How many have left the church? Have decided to look for some other dwelling place, something more relevant, more meaningful. The popes for a number of decades have been telling us that we need a new evangelization. That in places like ours where the church was once strong and vibrant, many Catholics now no longer practice their faith. And how is it? How is it that this situation will be remedied? The blood of martyrs is the seed of Christians. We are called to imitate the martyrs. You and I may not be called upon literally to shed our blood, but what is it about the martyrs that we are called to imitate? It is their courage. St. Paul, in the second reading today, a rather short passage from his second letter to the Corinthians, two times he says, we are courageous. We need courage. We need courage, first of all, simply to remain in the bush, if you will, to be the birds who take refuge in those branches, because there is pressure for us to look elsewhere for happiness. We need courage simply to remain in the bush, to practice our faith faithfully, to come to Sunday Mass every week. It takes courage to respond to some invitation, well, I can't do that because I have to make sure I get to Mass on Sunday. Courage to learn and to practice our faith, to allow what we do here to impact everything that happens between the Sundays all week long. To impact our relationships at home and at work, what we do for entertainment. And it takes courage, like the courage of the martyrs, to invite others, to share our faith, to invite other birds, if you will, into the shelter of the branches of this plant, this bush. Because there's also strong pressure on us, not just ourselves to look elsewhere, from the church, but if we're committed to the church, to keep quiet about it, to keep our faith to ourselves. That pressure must be met with courage and boldness. We don't impose our faith on others, but we must not be afraid to propose it to others, to share the joy of our faith. You know, the very first place where this must happen, the very first point of evangelization is the family. The family is where the faith is passed from one generation to the next. About a week and a half ago, I went to a meeting of pastors and principals from all throughout the archdiocese, one of those dreaded day-long meetings that we had to attend. And the presenter that day was a religious sister from Philadelphia. Sister Patricia was her name. And in her talk after lunch, she told a story from her childhood. It was very beautiful and touching. She remembered her very first day of school. And the sister who taught her class had them open their little catechisms. And the catechism was in a question and answer format. And she had them circle one of the first numbers there. And she read to them the question that said, "Why did God make you?" Those of you who grew up with the Baltimore Catechism probably could recite the answer. The sister taught her class, "God made me to know him, to love him, and to serve him in this life, and to be happy with him forever in the next." And she said to the class, "Now your homework is to go home and ask your parents to help you memorize the answer to that question." And so she says she went home that day excited to share what she had learned with her mother and to have her mother help her memorize that answer to that question in her little catechism. And when she shared it with her mother, she noticed her mother didn't even need to look at the book. She knew the answer. And she helped her little girl learn it herself. And she said that didn't really surprise her because she knew her mother was faithful and pious. But then that evening, they sat down for dinner. Her father was home from work. Her father, she said, was an alcoholic and had much of the difficulties that come with that disease. He asked her how her first day of school was, and she responded that they had learned why God made us. And she said her father looked at her, and sister, as she's telling the story decades later, her voice begins to break a little bit. You can tell that the emotion is still strong in her heart as she remembered her father looking her in the eye and saying, Pat, God made you to know him, to love him, and to serve him in this life, and to be happy with him forever in the next. It made such an impact because she didn't expect her father to know that. And that has stuck with her all this time and still is so fresh in her heart. The family is the place, the very first place, where that new evangelization must happen. And in a particular way, fathers, on this Father's Day, as we give thanks to God for the privilege of fatherhood, it's important to be reminded, too, that that privilege is a great responsibility as well. That fathers have an irreplaceable role in their children's lives. Not just to see that children study well and get a good education and learn well how to perform on the sports field, but above all, the important role of the father in handing on the faith, witnessing by word and example to a life full of our Catholic faith. So today, as our Lord proclaims for us the truth of the kingdom of God, let's ask him through the Holy Eucharist, through his body, blood, soul, and divinity given for us here, that we might grow in courage. We may have a little share in that courage of the martyrs. That filled with that courage, we might commit ourselves to remaining faithfully in his church. And that we might be willing to share our faith with others, especially in our own families. St. Gerard Majella, pray for us.